introduce our first speaker. Chris Weaver is a scientist in the EPA's Office of Research and Development. He is currently on assignment to the U.S. Global Change Research Project, where he leads the coordination and integration of scientific research components of the program to implement the new Decadal National Global Change Research Plan. His background is as a climate scientist with a PhD from Scripps Institution of Oceanography. At the EPA, he's involved in evaluating the specific risks global change poses to air quality, water quality, human health, and ecosystems, and he supports climate-related decision-making at the agency in these areas. Prior to joining the EPA, he was on the faculty of the Department of Environmental Sciences at Rutgers University, where he was also the Associate Director of the Center for Environmental Prediction. So with that, I will turn things over to Chris. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Emma, and thanks, Wendy, and I appreciate very much the opportunity to be here and participate in this webinar. I think it's a great series. And so, you know, I'm just going to say a few brief things, kind of a more general kickoff kind of sense of, you know, framing this challenge of dealing with the uncertainties in you know, what is going to actually happen in the future with climate change and our ability, you know, as scientists and citizens to anticipate these changes, what we know about them, and the obstacles that that might pose for moving forward on adaptation planning. you know, so we acknowledge now at all levels of governance, I think, that federal, state, local, and even individual decision-making, this need to, in some way, account for future climate change in a lot of our planning processes, to the extent that a number of the decisions that we make and our missions as federal or state agencies or municipal governments are sensitive to what climate is going to look like in the future. And often, you know, to most effectively support this kind of decision making, we hope that we could have some kind of quantitative guidance, analytical guidance to support this sort of adaptation decision-making across a range of sectors, from public health to disaster preparedness to infrastructure planning and so on. And, you know, one of the starting points, you know, once that reality is acknowledged, the starting point of the discussion is then, okay, what information do we need? Where can we get it? And how can we actually use it in our decision-making process? Climate science has and climate modeling, computer modeling of potential future climate change, has an important role to play in this information provision for adaptation decision-making. But there are a lot of questions that, you know, you have to tackle when you are try to parse out, you know, how you actually obtain and use this information in your particular decision context. Questions like, what sort of data should I be looking for, from what models, is it at the right scale for my my problem of interest, and, you know, how do I deal with all of the many sources of uncertainty that I know or I hear are present in the climate change problem. And so there's a bit of an analysis paralysis that results from that. And, you know, in my experience working primarily with EPA program offices like the Office of Water and the Office of Air and Radiation and also the regions, there are a number of questions that arise, questions like, how do I sort through all the information that may be out there that might be helpful to my problem, but determine what subset of that information is most relevant to me? What is going to happen in the future in my region, my city, my watershed? What do models say about it? Are these models any good? Is there a best model for my problem? What about downscaling? I hear a lot about it. What do I need to do with that? Is that something that I need to have accurate information for my particular region? Is it true that the uncertainties are so large that, you know, I might as well just go ahead and not incorporate any information about the future? It's not going to be practical for supporting my decision making, and so on. And, you know, you can kind of boil down the challenge, you know, embodied in these questions into, you know, a few key points. One, predicting the future under any circumstances, and for climate change in particular, is difficult, despite the fact that we have a huge investment in climate science and observation systems and modeling tools. There are a number of aspects of future climate change uncertainty that are still not scientifically tractable, so there are kind of irreducible uncertainties in the problem. Another thing that's hard is this process of incorporating scientific information, like a prediction of the future, into a real the process of making a real decision. Information, in order to be usable, has to be contextualized for a particular decision, and scientific information in particular is always only ever going to be one part of the equation in creating a meaningful policy response in terms of adaptation. There are many other factors, socioeconomic, political, practical, resource, and so on, that are always going to be important as well. And so the question then is, how do we harness, what we do know about the climate system, and particularly climate science and model outputs, to what we know about the processes of effective decision support. And so the key here, it really boils down to two things. First is, it's very important to start with your problem, your decision context, your system of interest, and so turn the problem around and start with what are you trying to achieve in a management sense, as opposed to starting with what data do I need, and try to kind of sift through the myriad of data sets, models, scientific information out there without first establishing, sort of the context and the parameters of your problem that allow you to tailor this search for relevant information. And then the second key piece is that, incorporating scientific information into local adaptation decision making must really be this sort of inherently participatory process, where you have scientists and stakeholders together at the table talking through the problem itself, the needs of the stakeholders, and the capabilities of the science, and co-designing the information that's needed to support the decision. So I'm just going to say a couple brief things about, each of these pieces of the challenge, and then just summarize again these main points. The first question, climate prediction being difficult, there are a number of reasons for that. Part of that is because there are aspects of the climate system which are inherently rather unpredictable. A number of processes, for example, related to clouds and precipitation, atmospheric circulation systems, the role of the oceans, and so on, where either there's a lot of natural internal variability, or we are still lacking key scientific knowledge to help us actually make accurate predictions, more than, a season or a year into the future. The other part of the equation there is that, of course, climate change is now a human, humans are a major driver of the climate change that we're starting to see now and that we expect to see in the future. And the trajectory of socioeconomic systems and human behavior and decisions is probably even less predictable than the climate system itself. And we don't have a very good handle today yet on how we can actually verify the performance of our modeling systems with respect to a future that has not happened yet and that won't happen for years and decades into the future. But there are a number of important things that climate models in particular can help us parse out about our problem. They can help us explore the dimensions of the problem and try to understand, for example, are there important special cases, such as extremes, thresholds, tipping points, surprises, types of risks that we might not have been anticipating, but we might need to be aware of and account for in our system. And we can use this information to help guide our search for response options that may be capable of dealing with vulnerability associated with one of these risks. And models are also very good at generating lots and lots of different views of the future to help us think about, what is the range of possibility to maybe test, where our proposed policy, for example, might fail in the face of a particular kind of change. And a lot of times, what's sort of out there available through the web, through credible federal sources, and so on, off the shelf, as it were, is more than sufficient to satisfy your needs for this kind of information. Most people will never need to go out and do climate modeling themselves to support the problem. And then the last piece of this is again, just emphasizing that even with perfect scientific information, decision support is a social process that requires participation of all of the people involved in the decision-making process, including the scientists and the stakeholders. And this is something I think that, you know, you'll hear reiterated in a number of the examples, case studies, later in the webinar. And so, you know, let me just summarize here and say, you know, what is the key here to sort of navigating this uncertainty challenge? Point number one is it's very, very important to think about your problem and your system and not start by thinking about future climate in terms of specific information or specific predictions that you might need for your region, and working forward from that, work backwards from your problem. Employ these participatory strategies. Get a team in place early that includes scientists and stakeholders together to co-design the information that you might need, and build a kind of shared understanding of the sensitivity of your system and your decision to climate variability and change. And then, you know, given that team and given that, you know, shared understanding, you can then go out and start to tailor more specific information from climate models, for example, to support your decision-making process. And just, you know, kind of illustrating this point a little bit more, you know, the decision sciences recognize multiple different paradigms for, you know, how we use information to help support a decision. When you are reasonably certain that you understand the sort of envelope of what the future holds and you can characterize probabilities, let's say, of future events, it may be okay to try to find, to first predict and then act. Find the optimal response, let's say, to a single most likely future. But when there's a lot of uncertainty, you're better off thinking about, well, where is my system most vulnerable and how can I hedge my bets against a wide range of futures? So I'm just going to end and say that, you know, this kind of approach is, you know, slowly penetrating its way into activities of the EPA program and regional offices, for example, to support efforts to adapt regulatory impact analyses in the air programs to climate change, how we design TMDLs in the water program, and so on. And our office and Office of Research and Development is trying to use models and data within this kind of participatory decision context-based framework to support those sorts of decisions in EPA. So I'm going to stop there and turn it over back to Emma and the other speakers, and I'm going to be happy to answer questions later in the webinar. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris. I think you've illustrated a great number of questions that our audience has definitely expressed to us, and some new ideas and approaches to consider as they move forward. And we'll certainly hear from Anne in the next presentation about some examples of how an approach starting with your vulnerabilities can be applied. And so before we transition, we're going to ask another poll question to gain a little bit of an understanding of how our audience, what our audience is facing in terms of challenges with dealing with uncertainty. So folks could take just a moment to answer the question, what aspect of the adaptation decision-making process poses the biggest challenge for your organization? All right, we can go ahead and pull up the results. So it looks like financial and or technical resources being inadequate is by far the most significant challenge at 53%. Scale of impacts data not meeting stakeholder needs is also a major challenge at 21%. Data not being specific to your location is another challenge at 11%. unknown vulnerabilities at 10%, and inconsistent model predictions at 6%. So hopefully we will be able to tackle some of the financial and resource questions in our next webcast, and many of the examples presented today will also feature different resources and approaches that may be helpful to you. So thank you for providing us with that information.